Anna Oli, Pop Rock Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rock de Pop Rock Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hey, det här är Hickson Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rock Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show, the video side of it. And if you're listening on an audio stream of it, that's the audio side. It's all the same. Well, it's just how you get the, it doesn't matter. Anyhow, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you're here. I'm pop art painter Jamie Rocks. These are some really cool guests we have tonight. I met them over on Facebook. They've got a podcast they're starting. They've got a fantastic group over there that has interaction on it and activity. It's amazing. They could teach a learning annex class on how to do it, man, because they're doing it. They're doing it. It's wonderful to see. They've also got a fantastic YouTube channel. And in addition to all of this content creation, they are the real deal. They're paranormal investigators. They go out. When we're watching this stuff at home and you're going, I wouldn't be in that haunted house. Oh, a bookshelf just fell over and almost killed that guy. Wouldn't be me. I'd be leaving. These are the guys and gals that do it. It's amazing. Got me personally through COVID watching stuff like this. Because what else was I going to do? Anyhow, the name of all of this is Stay Haunted and Haunted Paranormal on YouTube. And folks, we have clickable links below us. So use them and share. Because if you're into this kind of stuff, all of your friends are going to be into this too. That's the whole reason your friends, common interests and whatnot. And I find it fascinating. So I wanted to ask you guys real quick, were you always into ghosts and the paranormal, or did you have a bad experience and said, I gotta figure out what the hell's going on? How did all this start?
We'll defer to our good friends, Audra and Chris, how they got involved in the paranormal first. So when I was a child, I would see, sense, feel spirits around me. It's followed me in my entire life. And then when I was in high school, I used to drag my friends out to haunted locations and say, hey, I heard this place is haunted. Let's go check it out. And when they were running for the cars because something scared the hell out of them, I would stand there and go, don't run from it. Let's figure out where it's coming from. And half the time, there was a couple of times I had to walk home because they just weren't to stay.
Totally understand.
So then when I was about 23, 24, I said, you know what? I'm going to buy some equipment. I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to start recording it. And I've been doing it ever since. And then when Audra and I started dating in 2011, we would sit around and we would watch Ghost Hunters. We would watch Ghost Adventures. And Audra was just intrigued by it. And one night we were sitting there and I went, do you want to go on an investigation? What do you mean, a real one? I'm like, yeah. You want to do it? Just, do you know somebody that does it? And I went, hey. So it began. And then I'll hand it off to you.
Well, I was intrigued only because, again, children see things, hear things. You just scoff it off. Like, it's not real. It's my imaginary friend, whatever the case may be. Until my son was born. And it ramped up quite a bit around myself and my son, and I was a single mom at the time, and I would hear music playing in his nursery. His radio would click on, and it's just the two of us. My dad, who had passed literally the same year that my son was born, I had an alarm clock of his from where he worked at Motorola many moons ago. Never did anything, and it started going off. Just would chime every once in a while. Just so many things kept ramping up that, again, you like just put it to the back of your mind because you just don't want to deal with it. But I do remember I had even more activity happening, and I just came into the house one day and I just said, I don't know who was here with us. I will leave you alone if you leave my son alone. You are more than welcome to stay. And nothing happened after that. So when we did start dating and we would just have these conversations and what do you think about this, or watching a show, and you always wait to hear what the other person's going to say. So when he brought that up and he said, you want to go? I'm like, yeah, for real? Okay. We can do this. Yep. Yep. And we've been doing it ever since together. So, yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Quite the journey.
So we've been together since high school. We're high school sweethearts. We met through mutual friend and we've been together. It's now going to be what?
35 years?
35 years together and 29. This will be our 29th wedding anniversary in October.
Wow.
Yeah, we're blessed. We have two sons and we raised a family and stuff. We did family vacations. And when we would do those family vacations with her family, cousins, we would always, if it was in Florida, St. Augustine, Key West, even Philadelphia, local spots, we were always doing the haunted history ghost tour. We, not a lot of towns have that have the history of paranormal activity and experiences and stuff like that. From an early on, we worked directly doing investigations, but we were indirectly doing investigations, but learned about the history and the stories and stuff like that, that would be shared on those ghost tours and stuff. We explored through sport and all that, raising our two sons to, they're now 22 and 20 and girlfriends. And we have
each other now,
each other and rediscovering ourselves. And do you want to say, down the street, what got us formally involved with investigations?
It was all him. I was afraid because I saw things, I heard things, but I was just like, all right, whatever. It's just my imagination, the same sort of thing. So we were at the Columbus Inn and we met people and it just happened. We just started, they said, why don't you just come with us? Why don't you come here? Why don't we do that? And here we are now.
Yep.
Doing more.
So I went during the summer, I went to go get some ice cream with my oldest son. And then there was a little flyer that was hanging in. There's an old, it's called the Old Columbus Inn. It was a restaurant for a number of years, shut down. It dates back to the 1800s. It was an old state police barracks here in New Jersey. It was, what else it was? There was restaurant,
it was
state police before that, but it was orphanage. There was a bunch of history associated with it. So they were doing investigations. So long story short, we went there, like Carmela said, got involved, met some people who, through those people, led us to Chris and Audra and some other mutual great friends that we have been investigating with and had been learning from over the past 2.5 years now that we've been formally doing investigations. So that's our story, how we got involved. Oh, one other little thing. So as long as we've been together, I was told she was crazy.
What? No, he's starting to get it.
Now I'm like, you know what? She's like Maybe. Looking at me before. I'm like, you know what? You're not crazy, honey.
You never said.
It's on video.
It's on video. Man, that's cool. That is cool. My grandparents, very, very Native American. Their culture, stuff like this, paranormal type stuff, it's really such a non-event. It's having oak trees in your yard. It's like, they're there. Now, my father and his generation of siblings, my uncles and aunts, were all extremely scientific, extremely logical. And that was more cultural, I think, looking back at that time in history. Just, it wasn't real cool to be an Indian, unless you were Billy Jack or something. But in the general zeitgeist. I've always, you know, probably embraced more of a skeptic side of it. But as I get older, my mind is completely open. It's very apparent on so many levels. I'm reminded this daily, the universe or whatever reminds me that there's a lot of shit that I don't know or could have been wrong about. And so I'll tell you guys, having anything to do with ghosts, I used to have a great joke I used to always tell about people say, oh, the government's watching you and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I've been to the post office, man. I've been to the DMV. I can't see happening. And it was a very funny joke and all this and that. But it was a good joke. And then Edward Snowden happened and ruined it. Turns out they were reading emails and watching stuff. And my joke fell. And so when it comes to things that go bump in the night or things that I can't explain or that people can't explain, I'm very open-minded. Because I know there's a track record of me being totally sure of something, and then more information happens and turns out I shouldn't have been that sure. So yeah, I'm open to course correction. Let me ask you guys, I have, excuse my ignorance, I just don't know that much about your world, and maybe this will clear up things too for any of the, our viewers out there. As I understand, I have heard ghost stories of like it's a video, like something happens over and over. This ghost will walk through the room. A loop, yeah. And then I've heard also ghost stories where there's a consciousness that you could ask the ghost questions and it will talk to you. Because I don't think the loop is even, probably not even aware that you're there. It's just doing its thing on this loop. Is there, have you guys found in your experiences and adventures and whatnot, more of one type, of one side of that than the other? Or is it pretty well spread out?
I'll touch base on that one a little bit. I've been officially with Equipment Paranormal Investigating for almost 29 years now. And what I've come to find, and the deeper that we get into this, and just to give you a little bit of background about me, I am an operations regional director of ops for a company. I've been in construction for 32 years, but I also spent 10 years working as a law enforcement officer. But at the same time, I'm an ordained minister and a paranormal investigator. So I have a data fact-driven mindset followed by a belief in the paranormal because I've experienced it my entire life. But what I've experienced in those 28 years of investigating is a combination of both, but the majority of it is actually conscious, intelligent, responsive spirits. Mm-hmm. Now we have run across what you're referring to as the loop, and it's like residual energy that's stuck, that had a traumatic experience, and it's that energy that just keeps repeating itself. But I would have to say that 99% of what we run into the field is actual conscious, intelligent energies that are responding to what we do.
Agreed.
Absolutely agree. And some of the clips that we sent to you, I think that'll show some of that more intelligent kind of responses with what we like to use during investigations, timing and relevance. I borrow that from a good friend of ours that we both mutual friends of Carmela's and I's and Audrey's and Chris's. When we do an investigation and you're asking a specific question and you're getting the immediate direct response to that, that's, as he says, give me the lottery numbers so I can go play them. But it gives validation to when you're doing those types of Q&A questions and you're getting those direct responses. It tends to, we believe it's a little bit more direct, conscious, intelligent responses. We have run across the couple residual loops and stuff, but all in all, majority of our responses have been intelligent.
Amazing. Amazing. It reminds me when I was knee high to a tall Indian as a little kid, I used to spend every summer at my grandparents' ranch in Oklahoma. And one time, one of their dog Shep, which was a sheep herding dog, was just barking and going crazy at nothing, like dogs do. My dog today does every so often. And I always think about this because I was like, shit, settle down. There's nothing there. Quit being crazy. And my grandpa's pretty sure of that, aren't you? And I'm like, what are you talking? He goes, maybe that dog's seeing something you aren't.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what to say. I was like, because here's a grown up saying this and you're a kid. You're like, maybe he is. And so there's definitely stuff there. And yeah, we've got some great clips. Let's play one. Now I have these. So this might be a little tricky because I got to find the one we want to play. What should we start out with? Do you think?
Do you have them in the order? Do you have them in the order that I sent them to you in
yes.
email? I think the first four, or EVPs, what are called electronic voice phenomenon, mm-hmm. captured from the Montgomery House during Q&A session with Chris and Alger, Carmela and myself. And we were just, I think the first one, I'm trying to remember exactly which one it was if you play, I think there's first four, and then we can speak to it after. And before you play it, the paranormal, everybody's had a lot of experiences, and we've come to find out that through our mutual friend that, hey, even though people have had paranormal experiences, paranormal might not be so paranormal. It might be more normal than paranormal. So,
yeah, there's always that too. You watch these shows and you're like, they're like, oh, I'm picking up some weird electrical impulses. Yeah, there's a camera crew and a mic. Well, of course you are. But then again, I've seen shows where there's a teapot that flies across the room and for a minute, and then everybody moves on with their day. But I myself would probably be leaving, but that's just me. Self-preservation and all nonsense. Let's see what I got here. I'm just going through these real quick. Now, see, yep, this was trying to establish the age of a young girl named Sarah just outside her room at the Montgomery House. Is how
it so that might be, yeah, so that might be a video clip of, okay. And we are doing what is called a dead bell session, which is it's just an old, like, hotel bell that has been, you know, it uses physical touch and has a EMF sensor built into it, which is electromagnetic frequency. And basically, whenever I use this device, it has an adjuster that I can adjust the sensitivity. When we used it at the Montgomery House, we put it on its lowest setting. That's all I ever put it on. Like, I turn it on, you hear it activate. And for the most part, when we get responses, it's usually pretty immediate and with that timing relevance. It's just not randomly going off constantly, ding, ding, at random, just like when you're talking and stuff like that. So it's usually... we're getting responses on that during a Q&A session.
So you guys have all this equipment and stuff. We're going to play the clip in a second, folks, but I'm just curious. I'm easily distracted. That can't be, like, where do you get that kind of stuff? Just online, people making this stuff? You make it yourself? I mean,
yeah, basically. Generally. Figure out a concept and put it together, and if people like it, you sell it.
That's amazing. That is awesome.
And there's people, engineers, people that have studied and use engineering and come up with lots smarter than me.
No, I hear you, man. Yeah, no, that's cool. I'm always just wondering, because you don't see these at Walmart or something. You're like, I need an EVP recorder. where would you get one?
Well, so
go ahead.
Here's the great thing, before you show the clip, here's the great thing about not only the equipment that you work with, but when you have people like Carmela and myself and Otter, who are sensitive to the energies of spirits. And Todd's like, no. Here's the best
brick.
Yeah. Here's the best part about it. And this is why we like investigating with Todd and Carmela, is because I use equipment. I use myself. And I'll say, this is what I'm hearing. This is what I'm picking up. And a couple of these clips, you'll see that. As you see me talking and responding, I have no equipment. Audra carries an EMF meter and a video recorder. Todd and Carmela have a ton of equipment. Mm-hmm. And the reason I'm bringing this up is Todd keeps talking about timing and relevance. Timing and relevance couldn't be related in one data point is if you heard the bell ring right after we asked a question. But timing and relevance that leads to us realizing that what we're establishing is paranormal is I respond to something, this is what I'm feeling. Carmela responds to something, this is what I'm hearing, or this, I say, this is what I'm hearing. Audra says, I'm getting the same feeling too. And then we start asking questions to what we're picking up relative to what we're feeling. And then the equipment starts going off. And it's not just one piece of equipment. You have an EMF meter going off. You have the dead bell ringing. You have the string of lights, which is also an EMF detector, which tells you that something is approaching and close. When you get a collaboration of all the equipment plus what we have said we are sensing, that is a significant timing element. It's not one data point of us saying, hey, this is paranormal. It's 6 to 7 different data points all line up together.
Converging. Yeah.
Converging is one thing for us to go timing, relevance. This is profound amount of data points to say that this is paranormal.
A validation.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's definitely interesting. And there are some really cool clips. I got a video clip. I don't know if you guys, maybe we should start with this one because it's along this. It's interesting. This is the Montgomery House Curler Room. I believe it's Audra is trying to talk to
Miss Montgomery.
Whomever.
Mrs. Montgomery.
And he's trying to talk back to her. Well, she wasn't aware of it. And that showed up on the equipment later, I guess, when you guys were playing the
on review
or whatever.
Yeah.
And then that every so often on these shows and whatnot, and maybe there's stuff happening all around that we're not aware of. You know what I mean? And conversations. I know that happens in my world all the time. I'll be working on a painting and I'm like, and just have an idea out of the blue. I can't figure out how to do something. And all of a sudden, try this.
Touching on that point there, Jamie. So just touching on that point that you talked about, stuff that there's stuff all around us. So one of our friends, we listen to the radio. And as far as there's always things around us, there's radio frequencies and going by us.
Absolutely.
But we're not aware of it unless we have something that picks up on it. And then we're able to pick it up through a device, potentially, AKA radio. In this case, we have equipment that we use that helps us detect some of that energy that is potentially around us during these investigations.
Absolutely.
I think that would be a good one because, Audra, we thought it was a quiet night. It was a quiet night and Audra's, I'm like, holy crap.
When we were kids, I had a sister of mine who, you know, she was a girl. She got all the braces and headgear and all this kind of stuff. She was picking up radio stations in her braces. That happened.
For a sister.
HBO East.
It's crazy. So you never know, folks. Hey, let's play it. This is, we have the video here, and it's a cool little video. This is the Montgomery House, the parlor room that we were talking about. Here's the video. Check this out. Here it is. We're going to play, and then we'll come back, and we'll talk.
Whoa. What the hell just happened to my eyes? Did you hear? It was like three lines went that way, three lines went this way, and it sounded like a bug. Three white lines. You know what? Maybe it's from staring at the light.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. I did not lie. I did not exaggerate. That is an interesting video, and this happened. Audra, were you freaked out? Like, when everybody said...
Well, not when I don't know they're not talking back to me. Now, that excites you. When you capture something that you don't hear, you don't see, and you're on a recorder and you're like, holy crap, what did that just say? To actually get a response is incredible. It's more exciting than anything, for sure.
That's amazing.
And there were some things also in that video clip that it was more for the audio aspect of the captures, the vocal captures, but there were a couple little visual anomalies that you'll see arrows into.
Yeah, the orbs flying around.
The orbs they're a touchy subject in the paranormal for some people. Me personally, that's my kind of, because orbs to me, I found them very interesting. I don't know if it's spirit energy, if it's just energy from the universe, but the captures that we've gotten on the camera that we're using is called a full spectrum camera. It captures every visible spectrum of the light. And you're only seeing one kind of specific kind of anomaly at the time. And you'll see them in a couple of the other video clips there's another one I believe that I sent to you with Audra. You just see it. It comes in and out of view. It's pulsating and stuff. But the orb captures that we've personally captured are unexplainable to us. Now, I know some people will say, oh, it's dust, it's backscatter, there are. And I'm looking for somebody that if they can come and explain from a video aspect, because a lot of the explanations at the beginning have been with photography. Still photography.
Right.
I've tried to research with video anomalies and stuff like that to see if it's very similar. But yeah, orbs is my kind of, I like orbs. And we've captured some that are, they're strange.
Right. Whenever I hear people trying to discredit orbs, and again, folks, I don't know. I know enough to know that I don't know. But the interesting thing, yep, every time I've heard someone say, oh, it's a bug or it's a piece of dust or whatever. That's great. That's a great explanation. How come it doesn't happen all the time then? How come I'm not seeing orbs every time somebody's videoing something? Because I don't think it's just my house. that there's a hell of a lot of dust in around in here. And have you seen any orbs on the video here surrounding me? No, you haven't. Because I'm not saying the negative proves it. I'm just saying your explanation, I think, needs a little more weight to it. It's not holding water as much as you think it is. They said the same thing when they found those UFOs that they put before Congress. And, oh, it's just a camera glitch or whatever. I'm like, oh, that's great. We spent $90,000 on this camera and it's glitching like this. How come it isn't glitching all the time? It's just a random. Come on, man.
And there's a significant difference. Even if somebody wanted to look up a spiritual orbs on the internet, there is a significant difference. 28 years of reviewing video, you can tell the difference between a bug on the lens. You can tell the difference between a bug flying across the room. You can tell the difference of particles of dust flying in front of the camera. But when you capture a perfect circle,
right,
changing directions don't flow with like the airflow through the house, where the dust is going to follow the airflow through the house. But when something has a significant path, where a bug, if a bug was flying, bugs usually fly something similar to this, correct? A bat flies something similar to this because they're flying with sonar. A bird flies usually in a straight path, or it glides in a straight path. When you see something like Todd has captured that is a circle, that is a pulsating light, and it's moving in a direction that is significant and seems conscious, like it's making a decision to turn right, it doesn't have the same pattern as what other people say, hey, that's bugs. Hey, that's dust. Okay, if it's dust, doesn't turn.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It follows the pattern of the airflow in the room.
Exactly. So, and it's hanging out around Audra, who's talking to it. You know what I mean? It's crazy. I'll tell you, when I was a little kid, man, I saw that movie Poltergeist. I don't know if you guys, not the remake, but the original.
Once or twice, maybe.
Well, yeah.
And I know this isn't scientific or anything like that, but I just remember that scene where they filmed the orb coming down the stairs and then they played it back and it was a bunch of people in that little orb. And who's to say? I'm just saying I got goosebumps right now thinking about this. All of this stuff, and it's discounted. It's interesting. And Chris, you said you also have a religious side to you. I've seen so many religious people, and I'm not bagging on religion or anybody's. Unlike John Lennon, whatever gets you through, nothing. And if you're not hurting anybody, I don't care about it. I think that's great. That's putting a spring in your step. More power to you. I have never turned anybody down that said, hey, I'm going to pray for you. And I'm like, thanks. Hope it helps. Appreciate that. But I've seen a lot of religious people discount paranormal stuff. And I'm like, what's your whole thing, man? Your whole bag is paranormal stuff. How can you discount this stuff? That's your whole thing. Do you ever come across that? People saying, oh, you're playing with the devil. You're playing with fire. You're a mortal danger.
Co-workers, yes. I believe in the devil. I'm trying to rise the devil. I don't want the devil. He can stay down there. I'm good.
And he's the devil. I don't think he needs anybody's help if he wants
to. Yeah, right. We'll have to say that next time. He doesn't need me. He can do it himself.
Well, how I usually respond to him is, you believe in God, and in the good book it says, if as long as you, and these aren't the exact words, so I'm not quoting the Bible for the sake of watching. So if you believe me, you praise my name, you praise my son, I will grant you entrance to heaven so you could spend eternity alongside God and his son, right? Basically what it said. I'm not quoting the Bible. I will never quote the Bible. I don't have it memorized. I have read it. But at the same time, the God that I worship and the God that I believe in, whose son sacrificed himself so that we may walk in the kingdom of heaven, right? Is not going to bring me into the kingdom of heaven, lock the door behind me and say, I can never leave. Because my form of heaven is down here on earth with the people that I love, being able to see how they're doing and see how well they're doing and be able to not, they might not know I'm there. They might not be able to hear me, but at least I can see them. That's my heaven. So why would my God keep me from doing that? And if you believe in the Holy Spirit, how can you not believe that everybody else does too?
Absolutely. Everybody's got their I'm from that generation. I was a kid. I played Dungeons and Dragons and listened to heavy metal music. And all the Bettys of my neighborhood were all clutching their pearls and worrying up tremendously about me. I have a picture I'll post like in my morning blog and stuff where I was out at some nightclub and some guy was dressed up like the devil for some reason. I don't know. But I said, man, I need a, this was way back in the MySpace days. I said, I need a MySpace picture. This is, I only got a picture with this guy. And then I posted and I was like, here I am getting my big break. All I had to do was sign this contract. And I'll get it. Obviously, that's a joke. But if I post, oh, my God, there's like 100 email or what is my what, DMs that come in.
Yes.
Oh, you're playing with fire. I'm like, yeah, I'm out at a nightclub with Lucifer.
Next thing you know, you're gonna be playing with the Ouija board.
Board. I always thought they should make that like a rug Ouija board, and then you could get one of those things you push around as the coffee table, freak out your roommates. Order me a pizza. Jamie doesn't rent this month. Things like that.
No, a Ouija board rug and a Roomba, and you're in trouble.
The amazing thing about Ouija boards is I don't know who makes them, what, Parker Brothers or somebody? Mattel?
Hasbro.
Really, Hasbro's got a bead on communication with the afterlife? Let's. You think they would be using that technology for something other than entertaining 12-year-old girls? I'm just saying, who knows? This is cool, man. This is cool. So you guys, let me ask you this, because we see, when we watch a ghost hunting show, and that's how most of us know about your guys, is we're seeing an edited 30-minute, maybe an hour version of it. I'm like, hey, that guy needs a shave. They've been there a while. You know what I mean? How long does an investigation usually last? Is it just a night usually, or several nights, or?
It depends on where you go. The Montgomery house that we run, 1800s plantation house, forming, electrical now, but there's no facilities for you to use whatsoever. So we limit to basically as long as your bladder can hold, 3 hours, 6 hours, and you're pretty much done. Then Trans-Allegheny or other hospitals, sometimes you can book an entire weekend if you want.
Right.
So it depends. Yep.
And in all reality, we ran a hospital with some friends of ours in Arizona. It was one of the most haunted locations in the Southwest. And we would bring people that had never done paranormal investigations in, and we would show them how to do a paranormal investigation and then review their evidence for them and send it to them and say, hey, look, you caught an EVP. But the best part about it is when we would bring people that had never done it, I would say, okay, what on TV is the highlight reel? It's like watching the highlights on ESPN, right? They only show you the good portions of the game. Paranormal investigations can be boring as heck.
All science, really.
Or you can go into a really good place like Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum, and the whole night is filled with nothing but fun. What we call fun, right.
Something I've noticed in your guys' videos, and we're going to play a couple more here, some more clips, folks, coming. One thing that winds my watch a little bit, I think it's a cool thing, is you guys are all always, you seem very respectful. And one wonders, here you're dealing with a conscious entity that's haunting a plantation house since 18 whatever.
Uh-huh.
No TV, no cable, no books, no nothing. It's just there. Is it pissed off that you're in its on its turf? Or is it excited? Hey, something is, let's break the monotony. Something new's going on. Let me see what I can do. Because it's, imagine it would excite me. I'm not a ghost or anything, but.
Our experience from our perspective, yeah, it's like Chris said, it could be hit or miss. We do come in very respectful. A lot of the places we go, because I'm a history buff too. So it's about learning about the history of the location, treating it with the utmost respect. We're not going in. We're not antagonizing. We're not trying to get them all pissed off and whatnot. No, we go in because we understand if it is an actual spirit of a loved one or somebody that was of the earthly bound at some point, we're treating them because they were, if it is a human spirit energy, they were human at one point. So the thought process is, hey, do unto others as you want to be, have done, treat people's respect. So whether they're living or in this case, we're trying to communicate with spirit energy, we're treating them with the utmost respect, trying to learn a little bit about them, learn about the history, what their lifestyle was back in, depending on the time frame of the location. We're blessed. Where we're at in Burlington County, New Jersey, we have a lot of wonderful places. We're close to Philly, Fort Mifflin, which was the site of the siege during the Revolution, where Fort Mifflin got basically blown out of to smithereens. And there was a bunch of soldiers, the Confederate soldiers that died and stuff.
We have a lot.
We have a lot here. There's a place called White Hill Mansion that went on. Yeah, so it's good. There's a lot of good locations around here. So
it's amazing. Let's play
and to piggyback what Todd said.
Oh, no, go ahead, Chris. To
piggyback on what Todd said, it's all about intent, right? If you're going into a location like the Montgomery House where we're talking to people, that's where they live. That was their livelihood. That was their life. When you're going into an investigation, you're basically talking to people without their meat suit.
Right.
So your intent is everything. So you don't walk into a bar somewhere and walk in and say, I'm ready to kick somebody's butt who wants to sit down and have a serious conversation with me and get a positive response, right? So you go into these haunted locations, you're basically stepping into their homes. How would you treat somebody if you wanted them to answer questions for you? You're not going to be disrespectful. You're not going to be rude. You're not going to try and upset them or piss them off. You want them to respond to you. So intent is everything. You talk to them like they're people because they were, and they probably still are. They just don't have what we carry around every day.
Yep.
Amazing. Amazing. Let's play this clip. We've got several of these, but let's do the first one. This is Sarah, and this is the doorbell. This is the first clip of it. So we'll play it real quick here, and then we'll come back. I'll have some questions about it. And also, I want to ask you guys, because I was thinking about this just now and dealing with entities sans their meat suit and the carryover of how they lived and whatnot. Here it is. This is Sarah and the dead bell. I'm sorry, I said doorbell. What am I thinking? Dead bell. There you go.
Close enough.
Young rockers out there, I'm just saying, dead bell, that's a pretty good name for a metal band. If you're looking for the name, here it is.
Cool. Oh my gosh, you're so good.
How old is Sarah? Do we know?
Don't.
Estimating between 10 and 12.
Sarah, can you tell us how old you are, honey?
It says teen.
No, it says teen.
Teen?
Mm-hmm. It just said teen, yeah.
Yeah, it says care.
13? Can you ring that bell when I hit your 8, Sarah? 10? 11? 12? 13? 14, 15, 16. Oh, come on, Sarah, you're not that old.
Oh, I think you're younger than that.
She's playing hard.
Are you 9? 8.
You playing games with Chris?
I think you're 10.
Yeah, I thought she was like between 10. 7.
She's 10.
She's 10.
There you go, that was a double ring.
So we were right the first time. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you very much.
This is the most she's communicated.
Mm-hmm.
And we're back. Obviously, Todd, that is what you and Chris and the whole gang really were alluding to with this instrument you've constructed, this bell, and getting a response to questions and whatnot. Pretty exciting. That's pretty, as they say in science, the most interesting thing that's ever said is, that's interesting.
Yeah, and it's during that clip, I think we were, if I recall, we were trying to get her age. And then we were all, Chris was having a little fun, I believe, with at one point during the conversation, asking how old Sarah was. And then Audrey chimed in. And then you actually said, how old? Do you remember how old?
Mm-hmm.
10. That she was 10. And we got the response. So.
And
that was actually a perfect clip to show after what we just talked about, because you see the personality of Sarah in that clip, because she's messing with us with her age, because we know what her approximate age is, but she's not responding at 16, 17. Oh, come on, Sarah, you're not that old. And then we say, are you 10? And then ding, ding, she replied. It's the personality's there. And it's so it's the same thing that Todd and I just talked about.
Yeah. It's well, let me ask you guys this. Have you found in your research and your investigations and whatnot, in your, you guys are the experts. I am not. I'm just painter with question. Have you guys found that these entities maintain the age and the state of mind that they had when they became an entity, when they crossed over? Or does it change?
See, and that's where I struggle when people call us experts.
Yeah.
We're experienced.
Experienced.
I don't think anybody's truly a professional or an expert in the paranormal field because we don't have the answers. So some people believe that when you transfer from the physical life into the spiritual life, that you take on the form when you were the happiest.
Right.
Oh.
That's just a belief, right? It could be at the time of your death. It could be like the old pet cemetery where the guy that got hit by the car shows up and his face is all mangled. It's the Hollywood scenes, right? Nobody knows. So that's a hard one to answer.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. We're all, I think there's a sliver of self-interest when we watch these shows as human beings. Nobody wants to think it's Tony Soprano just going blind. I've worked my tail off down here for this is it. I guess make the best of what you got because you don't know. But at the same time, we'd all like to believe we've all lost someone in our lives.
Yeah.
And we'd like to, it gives us comfort to think they are looking out for me. Maybe they are looking over me. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt you to have that belief or that thought process, right? Doesn't hurt you.
Until it's 3 a.m. and they're really staring over you and I say, please let me go to bed. That may be different.
Or it's 3 a.m. and you're standing on the third floor of Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum or and you see one walk across the hall.
That's what I wanted to ask too. Do, say someone at a lunatic asylum, one, is there for a reason. There could be a combination of their software and hardware, something they do it, doing the same thing that everybody else is doing. Does that carry over into the spirits? Have you guys found that crazy people are going to be crazy spirits?
We were actually just trained Allegheny down in West Virginia just last August, and we're headed there May 2nd, right? We're going to be investigating there this upcoming together in May. But when we were there, we were walking around and it's a huge facility. So we're a group of 10. We're going around with our guide. She's talking to us, explaining things. And we're standing there and she's talking about how one of the guys, he was in this cage area where they would basically put somebody in a timeout if they were acting up, I guess, based on their behavior. And he was in there. There was no locks on the gate or whatever. He couldn't get out for 10 minutes and they tried getting him out. As she's explaining this, I hear actually now, this is one thing we talk about the EVPs that we hear after the fact. This was in the moment. I hear a loud scream, which sounded very much like somebody that's there for has possibly an anger issue or some type of cognitive issue that they're screaming in that. And it's sad. It really is. You feel bad. But when we heard, I looked at her and I'm like, did you hear that? And then there was like six, seven other people that were standing right there. I'm like, did you hear? And they're like, yeah, I thought it was like a car somebody or outside. Somebody outside the window. Yeah. I'm like, the window's shut. There's nobody out there. It's 12 o'clock at midnight.
I've never had one rage scream.
Right. But that was in the moment. And when we heard it in the moment, what we call disembodied voice, like we actually heard it with our own ear. And it was just, it wasn't me. It was her. And it was like three or four other people in the group. So then as we're turning, talking about trying to like, did that really just happen? Cause you're in amazement. And then on a capture, as I say, I say, oh, something about it. It sounded like a patient that was angry or screaming. And just, I no sooner got the words out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. Now on the audio recording, it was like way off in the distance. Same exact voice, tonality. It had to be the same person screaming again, but we didn't hear it. We heard it on the audio capture this time.
Amazing. Amazing.
So yeah, that was a wild experience.
And well, spooky. And Jamie, you said it at the beginning of the show that it consciousness. So if consciousness is what we take with us, that's in consciousness is where our personality lies, right?
Right.
So as we are in life, so are we in death. And it even states that somewhere in the Bible, as we are in life, as so we are in death. It's the consciousness that you take with you where your personality lies. But yeah.
Where your soul.
Spooks me out of World War II, because I'll tell you folks, now this is not scientific. We'll call it Jamie theory of people. If I take a group of 100 people and put them in a room, chances are pretty good that I'd say probably 5%, maybe more, are going to be jerks. They're going to be creeps. They're going to be a-holes. So by that type of logic, there could be some a-hole spirits out there.
A-hole We've run it. Yep.
Hollywood calls it the devil.
Yeah, no, they're just a-holes.
I'm just saying, not everybody, maybe they do. I don't know. I would like to hope everybody turns into Mother Teresa till they pass on. Another reason to try to get your train tracks, folks, of not being a creep, because you don't want to be one for eternity. How about
that? Yeah.
Hedge your bet is all I'm saying. Sounds like a pretty good idea.
Absolutely.
Anyhow.
Do unto others, because.
You know, you may. And wouldn't that stink? You always see these too in asylums, prisons. There's some prison up somewhere up in your guys' neck of the woods. So they're all, you always see all the ghost people are always going.
I work in a prison.
To no end to go to prison for whatever reason. I mess up. I go to prison. And I was only supposed to be in prison for, I don't know, 5 years or something. But now I'm there for 355 years. You know what I mean? That would really annoy the shit out of me. I would be an a-hole. I would be
angry.
You're king for the
pissed off, right?
I'm a vocation. I work in a prison, and I'm a vocational teacher. And I've talked with guards in the facility where I work. I'm fortunate I work outside, minimum unit, but the officers that are inside the main building and stuff, they've told me stories like tiers that are empty, that aren't occupied and stuff. They hear gates and open and shutting and stuff during it. They have some stories to tell.
I'm telling you, I used to live in San Diego. When I got out of college, I went to school in Boston. And Boston's like Philadelphia. It's amazing. You walk around. You're just walking down the street and you look down and there's some marker saying, here's where the first shot of the Revolutionary War. And you're like, Jesus Christ. It's amazing. I wanted to move somewhere the furthest away from Boston I could be from the weather point of view. So I looked at a map and I said, San Diego looks pretty good to me. So I moved to San Diego. Close enough to LA to do work, but still far enough. But man, they had, everybody was always going to the Whaley House out there. That was the big thing in Old Town.
And been there.
I'm telling you, I went once and I'm like, it wasn't a Ghostbusters moment. There wasn't like a demon that came at me, or I didn't see the Balrog in Lord of the Rings or anything like that. What I felt was stuff, the hair on the back of my neck go up a couple times. And I was like, I grew up in Detroit and we used to always go, my spidey sense is tingling. We need to get the hell out of here. And that's what we would do. I knew I didn't want to be there. And the other place, I got hired to do a job by, they were having a Rocky Horror Picture Show convention of all things. And they were having it on the Queen Mary ship.
Yeah.
Been there too.
I've heard about it. Never been there. So I went and we were down in the basement of the Queen. And folks, I know they don't have it's the very bottom of the ship.
Been in there. The bowels.
That was the rental I was down. But anyway, I'm down there. I'm painting away. Now, they have a bar, and I'm like, man, I need a drink. But the bar is up on the top of the ship on the entire other side. It was like a 15-minute journey to get to the bar. I'm hanging out with a bunch of Rocky Horror people. I said, I need a drink for this. So I made my way through and rode in the elevator and everything. Now, I'm not saying I experienced anything paranormal. I heard a lot of creaks and groans, and again, that spidey sense, I had one drink that entire gig, that entire day, because I wasn't going back on that route to finish. They'd already paid me, so I had to finish and get the hell out. So look at the closest. Like I said, everybody has a ghost story. That's a Tuesday for you guys. I mean, you guys have that kind of stuff every week. It's amazing. Do you get people, like, I imagine you guys are the most popular people at a dinner party. Everybody wants to hang out with you. Do you get people that want to go on these hunks and whatnot?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All the time.
They don't always return.
No.
Gotcha. But they go.
I'm telling you, this is going to come out and you guys' email is going to blow up. You know what I mean? There's going to be every weirdo in the world wanting to go to these things.
We just went recently with a bunch of Carmela's coworkers to a location that's not too far from here. And
they're skeptics.
So
they're skeptics, but how did it happen? Oh, I don't know. It didn't really happen. All right. We have video. Okay. Whatever. Believe what you want.
Maybe people do that because something's so weird and out of
It's weird. Yeah. If they want that.
Yeah, it's just easier to discount it. We're all looking for answers. That isn't finding an answer, discounting something. Not even acknowledging it.
Right.
I heard a rage scream too. What the hell was that? Maybe who's ever doing it thinks I don't need to be hanging out in his cell or wherever. So I'm going to step into the hall.
Right.
That's my thought. It's amazing. And you guys have to have the coolest houses on Halloween. You know what I mean? you do. I'm looking behind Audra and Chris. Look at all their skulls and stuff.
Yes, we definitely go all out for Halloween. I make a graveyard and we
play the spooky music.
Yeah, and we go all out. Yep.
Half of the neighborhood kids won't come up to the door because we have bloody handprints on the window.
I bet every teenager does. They're like, we got to go to that.
The teenagers love it. The little kids don't want to come get candy.
And in all fairness, the skulls are mine.
Yeah.
They're not Audra's because if I could put them out in the living room, Audra would let me. This is my office.
I'm decorating the house with skulls. Sorry.
I have a wife who cosplays. She has a whole shelf.
Oh, wow.
That all of her little bric-brac goes on. I'm like, no, we're not putting the Sailor Moon statue in the living room. I don't need that reputation, man. But she also, this is the funny thing, she also owns a crystal business. Her and her partner, Travis. Yeah, they're into that. We have so many damn crystals in our house. I feel like Superman in the Fortress of Solitude. And I don't know what they all are. Your house is mid-century. Do you think it's haunted? I'm like, no, because we got all these crystals. If it was haunted, they're all gone. She's saging every other week.
Like a force field.
There's nothing here.
Right?
I find myself one.
Yeah, we're pretty boring.
We're very boring.
Vanilla.
Audra freaking out when she sat there. No, it's pretty interesting. And I'm not discounting anything of what you guys. I don't know. I'm honest enough to say I don't know. I've had experiences I can't explain. Is that definite proof of existence in an afterlife? Yeah. But there's stuff that happens that I don't know. That doesn't mean that nobody else has had experiences just because I haven't had. Like I said, these cats and kittens, happens every Tuesday for them. They're out there in the trenches doing this stuff. So logic tells me to listen to what they're saying because.
Listen to what I'm saying.
I'm going to listen to what you say.
So
Carmilla.
It's a big money making thing.
Oh, No,
it's
an expensive hobby, and we're in it for the history, the curiosity, and the genuine trying to just. Hopefully one day, maybe we will find an answer, but not holding my breath anytime. But
no, I hear you.
We spend more money on the paranormal between our podcast and between doing investigations than we do on vacations every year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, look at Disney. We spend lots of Disney.
No, I'm telling you. No, I love Disney. I like Disney. The interesting thing about Disney, though, is when you visit Disney, you see a lot of force perspective work and whatnot, and a lot of magicians' tricks and nuances, just in general, to give to sell that fantasy. They use a lot of tricks and whatnot. But maybe not so much for you guys, because you're like, I know that trick. I know how it's done. But the exciting thing is when you guys come across something and it isn't one of those tricks, you're like, Christ, this, we may be onto something here. This is little Sarah, little 10-year-old Sarah, who I adore now, and she's living her life. Well, she's living, I guess. I don't know how you'd say it, but she seems to like you guys visiting. That's the impression I got.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She does.
She does.
But these things gave me the idea for a painting the other day. I have a whole crowd, I paint all kinds of stuff, but I have a whole crowd that loves these disturbing, untoward things, we call them. And I never thought about it, the idea. Maybe somebody pushed that idea into my head. I don't know. But,
there you go.
I should paint a lonely ghost. A ghost that's just very lonely, that they're living, they're not living, but they're existing very lonely. And here's the other thing, too.
Better.
I've read all these things in prisons and stuff where they put people in solitary confinement, and they're like, yeah, that's usually 3 or 4 days. And they go shit crazy with no input, talking to other people or this or that. Try 150 years of that. You know what I mean? It's got them. Because the conscious is still there, and it's still operating pretty. Sarah knew to ring that bell. Maybe there is something to that. Maybe that's a very sad thing. I don't know. Let me ask you guys a question I've always wondered. Hospitals, prisons, insane asylums, I get. Shit happened, and especially back in the day.
They're absolutely. Like,
120 volts, baby. There you go. That's your Tuesday. That's what they were doing. You know what I mean? My question is, you see in movies, I don't know if this happens in real life or not. That's why I'm asking. Why would a ghost haunt a cemetery? Is there some connection to their body, or are they stuck in a cemetery? Because you think that'd be pretty crowded. Being in a hospital, I can get it. You're like, went under for surgery and I woke up and here I am wandering the halls, St. Mary's. And how sad in a cemetery.
I have a couple theories on that one, because we investigate cemeteries, the older cemeteries, some of the newer ones. So my theory on that is the ones that haunt the cemetery is, where do their loved ones spend the most time? Like, if you go about 10 miles from here. So for work, I used to have to drive to North California.
Shit. Like, wow, that's a long drive.
North Carolina. And it's about a 2-hour and 45-minute drive from here. So I take back roads up to the main highway just to give some, you got a long drive. Let's make it scenic and make it pretty. And there's this cemetery on the side of the road. And every time I would come back from Raleigh to the town that we live in just outside of Charlotte, there would be an older gentleman there visiting what I assume to be his wife or children's grave. So my theory is, where do they come visit the most? Where do they expect to make that contact? That is probably why they keep coming back, is because that's where their loved ones think that they're going to see them the most. So that's where they go.
Makes sense.
And then the other theory is back in the older days, the 1600s, 1700s, 1800s, they believed that when you were laid to rest, that was your place of rest.
Rest, right.
So why would they meander those areas? Because they believed that, hey, if I can come down from heaven to visit, this is where I'm supposed to come to. And it was a strong belief that's, you were laid to rest here. This is where your spirit is bound on a heaven plane, on an earthly plane, and can go back and forth. It was a very strong religious belief. That's where they were laid to rest. That's where they could come back. So there's a couple theories, but ultimately, like we said before, nobody has a true answer to that.
We don't know. Yeah, I would say Carmel and I, we both piggyback on that thought process. So that's, we're religious. I'm born and raised Roman Catholic, big Catholic.
I was going to say, I'm a half big.
We're half big Catholics. Yeah. But, you know, we still pray and stuff like that. But, you know, early on, right? You know, cemetery, you go and you pay your respects to your loved ones and stuff like that. So it's because that's the closest association of, hey, that's where their physical body's still there. We want their spirit. That was the last place that they're associated with their spirit and consciousness. Hopefully that's where they're going to make contact with us. So.
Absolutely. I'm not that religious. I guess I'm more spiritual, but everybody thinks I'm religious because in my blog and stuff, I'm always like, today's the day our Christian and Catholic friends are celebrating the feast day of. But what nobody ever gets is I'm really into art. I can bore the socks off of anybody talking about art. For 2,000 years, the Catholic Church was the biggest game in town buying art. That's why I'm into, that's why I know all this stuff about Catholicism. But I get people all the time asking. And then I tell them that, and they're like, we'll pray for you. Nobody's, thank you. Thank you. But I'm sure I'll get emails having you guys. And I don't mean any disrespect by saying that.
We're not open-minded. We have friends that are open-minded. And
whatever. Whatever you want.
Whatever you want to believe. Kind of whatever floats your boat. That's right.
What I say, whatever floats your boat.
And it's just fascinating. I think you guys, I said you had kids and whatnot. You realize you're the coolest parents ever. My parents weren't out ghost hunting. They were having me clean the garage and stuff.
Our older son is downstairs actually in the garage below us, and he's doing something. And I don't know what he's doing. I don't know where he came from, but he cleans.
Making a hot rod down there, of course.
He's dealing with ghosts. Don't
he's
bring him in the
house. He's trying to impress some girl. That's what he's doing.
They've been together for 5 years.
I don't
know. Oh, and he's 21?
He's 22, 20, yep.
22, so since high school.
I'm on the right path. That was certainly not my mindset when I was 20.
I know, right? But he says he wants nothing to do with the ghosts. Leave them home. Don't let them come near him. Don't talk about it. Don't take the equipment out. Nothing.
He was at school the other night, and we came home, and we were doing a little home kind of session experiment in the house. And we had the lights out. He's, what are you doing?
No, we don't do that here, he says. He's the parent.
I was trying to do a dust experiment with camera, so I had the lights out and I was shaking pillows and trying to see if I could recreate the light.
That's funny.
Finally,
and he thought you were investigating.
Don't do that.
No, we don't.
And then that's where that's different to where our boys, they went, her son and my son and our nephew went to Togony Cemetery in Ohio, which is one of the most haunted cemeteries in Ohio, and they investigated with us. Man. My son went with me on a couple investigations down at hospital, the Ajo Hospital down in Ajo, Arizona. So it's to each his own,
right?
But all that doesn't make us unspiritual and religious. I still believe that God was my savior, and I still believe that he sacrificed his only son for my sins, and I still believe 3 days later he rose.
Right.
Have you had experiences where you're like, I need to pull that card out of the deck here. This doesn't seem like a good one. I might need a little backup on this particular case.
More so them than us. We are a lot of places we like to think is more historical aspect than negative entities, so to speak.
We've actually done private home investigations also and gone in and spiritually cleansed the house, and I blessed the house. And there was one here in North Carolina that there was a, it was very interesting. We were brought in by another group. We work with a lot of groups, and they'll call us in to do readings, and they'll call us in to do blessings and stuff like that to cleanse a home. And we got called in by another group that had done an investigation. And at one part of the investigation, when we were cleansing the house, I was in one of the rooms and Audra was behind me saging. I was spreading holy water. I was doing the blessings. I was doing the prayers to cleanse the house. And there was a male spirit in one of the rooms. And I told him, I said, if you don't leave now, this is your opportunity to leave. I said, I will pass you on to where you're supposed to go. Whether it be heaven or hell, that's where you will end up. And we actually heard his footsteps. And the two girls that were doing the Lord's Prayer behind her, we heard them go down the wooden floor and out the door. We heard his footsteps. And the two doing the Lord's Prayer just stopped. And they're like, oh my God, did you hear that? And I went, keep going. But there was a portion of the basement that was just, I wouldn't say negative. There was a ton of energy in that portion that I was actually nervous.
It was busy.
It was very busy. I was actually nervous. It was one of those where I went in and I used every bit of faith that I had to clean that area, but it worked. The lights brightened. When we first got there, there was no butterflies outside. There was no squirrels playing in the front yard. When we left, the house was bright. It was lighter. There was butterflies in the front. It is definitely, it's an experience that most people don't get to have, but it was really awesome. Todd talks about the karma, and we know that we have good karma because when we walked out and saw the change in the atmosphere on the outside of the house, it was like God had finally put his blessing on the house and cleansed it for them. And it was an awesome experience. So yeah, we had an experience where we actually thought it was satanic or evil in 28 years of doing this?
Nope.
Never.
That's a-hole that you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
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 So speaking of
foot there that's turning their nose up at this stuff, I'm telling you right now, I've known a lot of people that buried a St. Joe statue at the house they were trying to sell. You know?
Yeah.
When you try to do something, whatever. You know what? I used to live in Las Vegas. Talk about rituals and stuff.
What?
That's all they do at a slot machine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll go from the cleansing part to, I want to touch on the footsteps part, in which we'll tie in nicely to one of the clips that we sent. It's called Watch Till the End. We were downstairs in the Montgomery, in the hallway of the Montgomery house, and we were all downstairs. I think Audra and Carmela, you were in Miss Montgomery in the parlor. Mm-hmm. And then Chris and I were in the hallway. We had the dead bell set up in the upstairs hallway, and we hear the dead bell go off, and then Chris hears, we both heard it. We heard it with the loud footsteps. We're like, holy shit.
So that was happening. It wasn't a sound picked up,
no.
Discovered later.
It was audible.
It was audible. Yeah,
we heard it in We heard it at the moment. And that video clip that you'll show, you'll hear. It'll be the Q&A Chris is asking. And it's also because Chris is, can you ring that bell? Ding. And then we're talking, and then it's Chris and I, did you hear those fucking footsteps were loud? And then it's because we weren't paying attention to whether it was Sarah or one of the servants or somebody there. You hear the bell ring like one or two more times as me and Chris are talking back to each other. And then Chris goes, "All right, can you go and touch that bell? Walk back over to that bell." He didn't even finish saying the sentence. Ding, the bell, you'll hear the bell go off.
Here it is, folks. Here's the video clip. Here's what we're talking about right here.
Twice for us. Let's hear you ding it twice. Show us it's really you up there making that noise. You think his footsteps up there?
Yeah. I hope we get it on audio on the cameras.
That was loud.
Yeah.
I heard you walking. Can you ring that bell again for us?
So where the footsteps like right there?
Twice for us. Let's hear you ding it twice. Show us it's really you up there making that noise.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. There it was. There's the video evidence. And yeah, if you're saying, well,
it's
video trickery or some shenanigans or something. You know why?
Listen, you come on an investigation with us. We invite you.
Go spend the night at that house.
Reach out to us. We'll bring you on. We'll take you.
You know what's interesting, too, as you bring up a point, is a lot of these houses, like this one, it wasn't just me and my wife living in them at the time. They had whole servants in there. There was a whole barrage of people that were there. And all those people had lives, and all those people were doing different things. And you don't know all the details of what was going on. I've hung out with people before. You can never tell what's going on with people. Who's to say?
Yeah, that was one of the things when we first saw the house and started talking to the historical society. They're like, nothing ever happened. Murders, nothing exciting ever happened. House in our historical history. There's history in this house. So
things happen.
got to first prove that there was activity in the house at about blew the Historical Society away.
We did. We did a 2.5-3 hour investigation and then presented the evidence clips that we had captured. Not even all of them, because when Todd and Carmel are the same way, when we do an investigation and we go back and review what we caught on video or audio or anything like that, we anything that has one little molecule of doubt, we throw it out.
Yep. We're done.
We will only present you with what we think 100% is paranormal. We vetted it's not somebody else's voice. It's not somebody else in the house. We know without a doubt, 100%, we believe it's paranormal. We provided them 15 different pieces of evidence in a 3-hour investigation.
Jesus Christ. That's, they got to freak out. And they got it. Did they lean into it a little bit? Did they get more interest in other people just coming?
We've they gave us a key.
Yeah.
They the key to the house and said, you guys have full control of this house. Bring investigators in. And then 2 weeks later, I have it hanging up on my wall. They put us in the newspaper.
Nice.
They were so amazed with what we had found in the house that they put it in the newspaper. They talked about it. We to this day, we have a key to the house and we bring paranormal investigators in 3 to 6 times a year.
That's amazing. Like I said, people are into this stuff. I see it with my friends and they were like, big surprise, Jamie, look at you. Of course you've got some weirdo friends. And I do. I never judge any. I wouldn't have any friends if I judged anybody. But the thing is, I don't think it's just my friends. I think everybody's in. There's a reason Discovery Channel's writing checks and buying shows. You know what I mean? They're not just filling space. It's amazing. It's amazing. Let me ask you this. Dave, is the scene getting inundated with, and again, I hate to use the word expert, or I think experienced is probably a better phrase, but with amateurs, with people that don't know what they're doing and possibly could be doing something dangerous. Do you guys see that trend happening or not so much? Nobody's going to go stand around for 5 hours in a lunatic asylum and hearing rape screams. Does weed people out usually?
No. I would say in the beginning, when the shows were popular, there were 6 or 7 shows on, you saw a lot because it's like, the old song, I was country when country wasn't cool. It was, so I emerged, I was in the paranormal investigations before it hit the TV screen, right?
Gotcha.
When it hit the TV screen, you saw a lot of that. You saw a lot of people going, I'm buying a camera, I'm buying a recorder, I'm going out. And people were getting hurt. They were going into these old locations and not looking for safety things. Situational awareness didn't happen. They would go by themselves. They would get into situations where they would get hurt and they would have to call for help. But the good thing is now the transformation of the paranormal community, now that the shows aren't as popular as they used to be, more people now are reaching out to people with experience. When they want to go out and do an investigation, they'll go, hey, you're a paranormal investigator? Dude, I would love to come along. And then they want to learn. And that's some of the first things you teach them is, okay, don't just go looking for ghosts. You need to make sure you have permission to get into these houses. You need to make sure that it's safe to be in. You said it earlier, self-preservation, self-physical preservation above and beyond ghost hunting comes first.
Yeah, because you don't want to wind up having to ring a bell just to communicate with people. That's the thing. It's all
I actually had a whole, just through social media, I had an old high school buddy that reached out to me and he was like, I'm a UFO guy, but my wife's into the paranormal, loves the shows and all that. Can you take us out on an investigation? I says, yeah. I says, absolutely. I says, I'll pick a spot, get a couple of dates, see what works for you. And we did that. We had a great, and it was a historic house. It was actually, it's called West Hill Manor. It's about 10 minutes from our house here in Burlington County. It was the first Freemason, I believe, built the house. And it was the woman, Susan Emlin. She was the first breast cancer survivor. She actually had surgery in the house without anesthesia.
Jesus Christ.
Ouch.
In her bedroom.
That's a traumatic experience.
Yeah.
Oh my. I hope she's not reliving that. I hope.
We've heard audible female voice like screaming out and like discomfort. And it's strange because when you hear stuff like that, did I really just hear that? And it's what the hell? And it's sad, but then it's exciting at the same point.
Well, yeah, for you.
I heard that. So.
Well, Oh, man.
We were in Tala and talking about self-preservation. You go ahead and tell the story. And not being disrespectful to anybody, but it's people that are wanting to come out and do the investigations and stuff.
So there was a girl that had been there a few times, and every floor we went on, she would start screaming and crying and carrying on. And finally, we get to the one floor, and I look at her. I said, "You got 5 more minutes to cry that out. We are done. You either leave or carry on."
Give her.
Why? So, why are we still crying? I know that's easy for me to say, but she's been there a few times. Like, yes. I get it. But so unfortunately, like, they left. Yeah. Then I felt bad.
So that's for the best. Why put
that? And that's the thing.
Floor, every time, and she would say, "I can't go down the hallway. I'm just going to sit right here." Sure. All right, then sit down.
So stop, listen, be comfortable. If you don't feel comfortable here, if they don't come.
Exactly. You know the situation, and I'm really not. And, but
yeah, and we're not being, trying not to be disrespectful, but that common sense would be like, hey, listen. If you don't feel comfortable somewhere, then don't come back.
It was
or don't
me feel cry. Uncomfortable. Like, why is she crying?
I'll give everybody here an example. Last year, my wife, a little younger than me, she's really into new metal music. And there was some big festival happening in Las Vegas. Her and her girlfriends flew out there for this music festival. And she asked me, she goes, "You want to come to Vegas with it?" And I'm like, "No, I do not." All that would happen is I would ruin everybody's time.
Right.
Bitching about right. how hot it is and how I have to walk around right. all these tattooed people all day. It's not my scene. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that, you know? Go have a good time. That was my thing. Why ruin somebody else's? You guys are out there for 5 hours standing around with no party. Come on, you know?
That's not your thing.
Right.
I felt bad because her nephew is now sitting next to me and he's asking us questions and what we're doing. And then she comes in and she said, "Get up." And I was like, "Oh, crap." She said, "We're leaving."
I felt bad for him because he was like, we had him interacting with us and participating. He was having a great time.
Back. He'll be back and he won't bring her. That's the thing.
Sorry, I yelled at your aunt.
Here's the thing that I tell most people that want to do paranormal investigating. I tell him I was in law enforcement part-time. It was my side job for 10 years. And I went out and I chased some of the most dangerous criminals in Arizona. Real people scare me more than the dead people right. do.
Yes, 100%. I'm with you on that.
Absolutely. That's, yeah, man. Oh, I remember seeing that video where those women finally escaped that guy's house in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Been there for 10 years or something, and I'm like, "Here's your Stephen King monster," but he ain't right. in the sewer.
Yep.
I just felt bad for the neighbors. I'm like, you imagine? I wouldn't know how to react to that. This was going on next
year. Yeah.
Stuff like people can be messed. Man, we've all watched Law and Order. We all know.
All right.
Woman out jogging in the morning. Look what.
That's why I don't jog. That's crazy.
Exactly.
That's
why. Me too.
Well, at the end of the day,
a paranormal house. Then I'm out of it very quickly.
Ultimately, at the end of the day, going to a paranormal investigation is no different than watching a scary movie on TV. The minute you leave, you turn the TV off. They can't physically harm you unless you allow them. Right?
Right.
It's no different. So real people are more scary because they can physically harm you when you don't want them to where spirits can't.
Right.
They're not a physical entity. They can't physically harm you. The whole exorcism stuff on Hollywood it's all Hollywood.
Everything is. I grew up in Detroit. I grew up knowing a few criminals and this and that. Right. And you see these movies where George Clooney's robbing a bank or whatever. The real people that do that isn't nearly as glamorous as it or exciting. It's dangerous. They usually wind up dead or in jail. That's no. And then they get killed in jail and they're stuck in the jail for 400 years. That's not any fun.
That's true.
It's okay. They provide us areas of places we can go catch some evidence.
There you go. So, final question. I know I've kept you guys longer than I was supposed to, but the final question. We're dying to know. In your experience, because you guys are experienced, there's something to all this. You would say.
Without a doubt.
How about you,
Carmella? Yeah. Our screen glitched out for a second. Yeah, there's definitely something to it. We wouldn't be doing it if we didn't believe that there was something.
I'm just happy if somebody finally believes me what I see. If I say something, you know, whatever you're saying. But then I'll talk to them. They're like, oh, no, we can go back and forth. And he's like, you really saw that? Or I see his mom all the time. His mom passed away and I dream about my dad. And it's just crazy.
And it's nice. I'm glad that he has that ability, like Chris and Audra. Me, I'm a brick. I'm being able to now, when she says that and things that I know, and she picks up on that type of stuff, and that just, it's wow. That's, she has that ability to be able to, it's a beautiful thing in a way.
I don't want to put anybody in a potential crisis, but all I'm going to say is if this is a simulation, I want to see a manager because we should have done better. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
There's a lot of stuff in the world.
Which is me, I see.
Right.
Like when I see your mom, she's always happy. She's young. So you talked about, like, when do you see them? She was young. I'll explain the outfit and he'll say, oh my God, that was like from 1980. Like, how do you know that? Or I see my dad and my dad is young. My brother is younger. And then I have another brother that had passed away. I never knew. They're all younger. They're all happier. They're not like when they died. It's not that. They're like 20 years older.
You know what's interesting about that?
And
I get paid a bit of money to paint people. And that's one of the portrait painter's secrets is everybody thinks that they view themselves when they look at, I may not feel it when I wake, I feel like the Tin Man and the Wizard of Oz when I wake up every morning as I get older. But really, my consciousness, probably about 24. I'm still trim and fit and ready to go, full of ideas, full of promise. But everybody has that. Everybody. And as a painter, a big part of your job is to recognize that in someone. You may paint an older woman or whatever, doesn't matter. But you capture that essence. You try to. And this is what makes, this is the hard part of painting. You paint what you're seeing, but you include that essence of how they see themselves.
They want to be seen.
And if you do that, you can learn that ability, you're going to sell a lot of paintings because people like you. Tell you the amount of times I painted a painting. Remember my father was visiting one time. He goes, man, that's that lady. She needs to take that down to the DMV and hold it up when they take her picture. She looks great. And I'm like, but
I always tell people this when it comes to the paranormal. So you talk about Bigfoot. Native Americans and indigenous people have been talking about the Yeti, the Sasquatch, the mud monster and the swamp monster. And then the Patterson video came out in the 70s. And to this day, all they have is footprints that they can't prove is a Bigfoot. Right. They have hair follicles and sounds on tape that they can't prove is a Bigfoot. But we know hundreds and hundreds of paranormal people that can provide you with evidence of the afterlife, but people still put their money on Bigfoot.
It's like those UFOs that were showing Congress. They're bringing in these fighter pilots. These are guys and gals they put in charge of a $1 billion piece of equipment. They're like, yeah, we believe in these people enough to put them in charge of all this expensive stuff. Now we're going to call them kooks.
Right.
Are you kidding me? I think what you guys are doing is pretty interesting. I think you guys got the coolest job in the world and can't wait to see more. Let's get to some business stuff. When does the pot? I'm not trying to put you on the spot, because I'm going to start listening to this all the time. When can we expect that to launch, do you think?
I want to get everybody a little bit of a background of where Stay Haunted come from. Audra and I worked with two other co-hosts, Tony Tree Rathman and Ron and Lourdes Gonzalez, and we had a podcast that lasted 5 years called Entity Voices Paranormal Evidence. And what we would do is we would bring on paranormal investigators that had done investigations. We would show our own evidence that we'd captured, and we would bring on other paranormal investigators, whether they were rookies or whether they had experience, and we would show clips of stuff, evidence that they had captured on investigations. The very first show that we did a little over 5 years ago was just Tony Sheree Rathman and me and Audra. And at the end of the show, I blurted out, "Good night, everybody, stay haunted." That became the tagline of our podcast for 5 years.
Okay.
It ended up morphing into a Jerry Springer moment where I would tie something I said at the end of the show, like, that's how we met Todd and Carmela. Todd and Carmela were guests on our podcast. Mm-hmm. And for example, at the end of the show, when Todd and Carmela on there, I said, guys, if you want to go out and you want to get some investigation, you want to see the way these guys use the equipment, you want to hear that dead bell ring when a spirit is talking to you, you have to hang out with Todd and Carmela in 222 PIR Paranormal, and you've got to stay haunted. That's how we would end our show. I always said, stay haunted at the end of the show. So when our podcast ended, because the six of us went different directions, mm-hmm. Audra and I, we love the paranormal. I've been in it. I've been dealing with the paranormal my entire life. I can't get away from the paranormal no matter how hard I want to try. Knowing, and we made good friends in Todd and Carmela, their investigation techniques is so different than ours. Four of us together on an investigation bring together a collaborative effort of equipment with sensory perception, with sensitive, the feeling of the spirits. We decided that we wanted to create a new podcast and continue the franchise. It's not a continuum of the franchise. This is a new show. It's the four of us. And Stay Haunted is a podcast based off of, I have it tattooed on my arm, right? It is based off of the paranormal. To us, paranormal life is the normal. Normal life is abnormal to us. Who better than to have a show with than these two that we call good friends of ours that we love dearly and talk about everything paranormal. So the new show will start in April. We're currently working on the videos for the intro and the outro. We've already got a backer. It's the Unexplained Network. You can find them on YouTube. Find them on Facebook, right? We've been working with our producer. The producer for UNX, his name is Race Hobbs. I've been working with him for years with our podcast, Audra and I. They're going to back us. We're going to start the show. We're looking starting around April 7th. And what the show will contain is we're going to throw a little bit of the old show in where we have other investigators on and show their evidence. We're going to talk about evidence clips. We're going to have panel discussions. We're going to analyze evidence, why we think it's truly evidence and why it's not. But then we're also going to talk about different types of evidence. Then we're going to talk about different types of equipment. And sometimes we're going to have people on just to bullshit about paranormal. It's going to be a genre of everything paranormal that you can think of. That's what Stay Haunted is. And that's what Stay Haunted is about.
That is awesome. And you guys have the infrastructure set up. There's all kinds of things you can do with these podcasts. It's amazing. I can have a live stream of people asking questions and the reason I don't is, folks, I'm lucky to get through this, let alone adding that on top of it. Everybody's like, my producer's my dog. It's a joke. It's all me. No, that sounds amazing. And it sounds cool. That is something I would want.
Chris and Audra are some cool people. And we're just to piggyback off of what Chris had said, we're blessed to have our paths have crossed with them and blessed that they asked us to start this podcast with, and we know how much Stay Haunted means to both of them. And it's become from being regular viewers of their previous podcast and being good friends with the other co-hosts and stuff like that. It's what we call power family. Yes. We really do truly stay haunted. And we've gotten that motto. I'm actually going to be we both have the same tattoo. It's 222. That's what we're joining 222 Paranormal Investigation Research with Southern Entities Paranormal, which is Chris and Audra. But we've been together, the 222, instead of doing our names, twos were our number, balance, harmony, spiritual alignment, stuff like that. We're just blessed with how everything came to fruition. And we believe all things happen at the right time and the right place for a reason. So we're excited.
Awesome.
I'm going to be getting the Stay Haunted tattoo down here. That's how much to make. So
my wife's really into tattoos. I don't have any. I'm one of those.
I'm just nervous. I hear you. I was nervous about getting one.
I just always try to.
I don't either. I don't either.
It's nothing against them. I love the way they look. I have never felt that strongly about anything that I needed tattooed on me. But that's my whole thing. But you guys have a new friend in South Florida now. So next time you come down and, I don't know, it's another 4 hours south or so, we'll go down and see Robert in Key West or something.
Oh,
that's
well,
the worst that could happen.
No.
I will not.
It's just a dog.
Might not have Carmella come along for the visit.
I'll stay outside.
I don't go on these investigations and everything because look at me. And I've seen enough horror movies to know if something does go down, it's probably going to go down to me and happen to me first. Like, oh, this kid looks like goth music. Huh?
So
let's show him shit.
We have a niece. We have a niece that lives in South Beach, Miami area. So next time we come down, we might be reaching out to you just and see if you want to come along for a visit.
We'll just go to Disney or something.
I don't mind. I'm just not going there. I'll just eat my quinoa and fry and have a drink.
I've
and
never
you guys
even been to Key West. I've never even probably tried to bring the cats home. Hemingway's. I don't know.
Key West is awesome. You've got to make it down there, Jamie.
I want to. I'll tell you a weird place I went to. We went a couple of years ago. There was this crazy guy that made this whole castle out of coral, and nobody knew how he moved all these stones and stuff around. And that was down in the hood of Miami, like the worst part of Miami.
But right I've heard of that house.
It was this coral castle. I guess Billy Idol filmed a video there or something. It was.
Yep.
Anyway, thank you guys for coming on. This has been so much fun.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Thank you very much for inviting us.
And folks, all I'm saying, again, I'm just going to reiterate, you know, check all their stuff out. We have links below and everything. Stay Haunted is the name of the game. And yeah, the world's weird. And apparently it's weirder than we thought. Be kind. Be good. Hedge your bets. Don't be a jerk.
That's right.
And we'll see you next. Here's my other piece of advice. I've been doing this all month long. I find them hilarious. But if you're traveling, lay off the booze. Don't wind up in a Karen video on YouTube. You know what I mean? And Chris will appreciate this. If you do happen to have interaction with the police, you ain't going to win. Understand that. You're not going to talk yourself out of it. You're going to, if they pull out the cuffs, you're done. Just accept it. Get off the plane so the rest of us can get to where we're going.
Exactly.
No matter how right you are, or you think you are. Okay, folks, that's it. We will see you next time.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited.
Hanna Oli, Pop Rocks Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.